The Brad Sesmatt Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. It is a good Monday. If you notice, right off the top, set is a little different. Usually I have the motorcycle guy up there. And people have asked me through the years, who's the guy on motorcycle? That was my best friend in life, other than my wife, who I lost tragically. Pat would understand this. His photo is off to the side. Because the final four people, they sent over a bracket. They sent over a clock, as you see it in the background. They sent over a basketball. I mean, they sent over all this stuff this morning. They sent over pens. So I had Wilma, the Wildcat, sitting up there somewhere, and I just made a little shrine. I already put all the brackets in. So it's very nice of the final four people to send over stuff. Very, very nice of them. We would be talking about them anyways, but when we can enhance our set for a couple weeks, why not? Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business. As always and through the years, that is Desert Financial Credit Union. And we do appreciate their support. John Wilner and I are going to go in depth today on a number of topics on the college front. Yes, we're going to talk about the Final Four. We're going to talk about how all the pressure is on the U of A. And if you're a U of A honk, you will. U of A fans are like Dallas Cowboy fans. They really are. They never do anything wrong. It's everybody else's fault. It's always the referee's fault. And, you know, we're U of A. You haven't won anything in 24 years, I think. Lost the Pac-12 tournament. It's good we lost. Look at everybody else. Oh, you're just a hater. No. Kind of realistic. You're not that good. Put up, shut up. Pretty simple. It's March. You're going to get your heart broken again. That's how it works. So I'm going to talk with John Wilner about that. He wrote an interesting column over the weekend about Bobby Hurley. The NCAA basketball tournament as we know it today. Today, on the 18th of March, 2024, by the time we get to the 18th of March, 2025, everybody's going to be an employee and all of the players are going to look different. And by the time we get to 26 or 27, we won't even know what this tournament looked like. It's not me pushing panic buttons or alarms. The world's not coming to an end. No, it's just going through radicalization. Huge change. So John and I are going to get into the weeds. Last week, college football playoff, huge changes. If you're one of those people that went to a small school, you were at Wyoming or San Diego State, or good luck, you're not going to have a shot really to get into the postseason for football. And basketball is going to change too, because the Big Ten and the SEC are saying, you know what, we carry the water here. So we want X amount of bids so that we, the Big Ten and the SEC, not the Big 12. No, the rules are changing. So John and I are going to get in on that. I had a great weekend. You know, it was one of those weekends where the weather was fabulous. And my son was down from college, Colorado State, our youngest of four. And I watched a ton of the players in golf, ton of it. And I watched the tournament. I'm one of those guys where I'm not very good at golf, but I really enjoy the game, the mental strategy and all that. I played yesterday morning at a 6:30 a.m. tee time. Just my wife and I, the two of us played nine. It was great. And came home and watched this Xander Schauffele, Scottie Scheffler duel. It was really a duel. And it was great theater. Just loved it. And Schauffele is number one in the world. Or Scheffler is number one in the world. Schauffele is right there. It was tremendous. Tremendous. I have to believe that even if you're one of those golfers that is playing in the LIV, you would have to say, yeah, I miss being in these events. I would have to think that. But who am I? So I watched a lot of that. Then the tournament brackets were released. To my pleasant surprise, U of A will be playing Thursday morning against Long Beach State. It's a great storyline. Great storyline because Tommy Lloyd and Don Monson have history with one another in a good way. And Tommy talked about it yesterday at the U of A little get-together they had in Tucson. I watched it last night. I appreciate when I see somebody go through the, you know, the toils of being a longtime assistant coach, and Don Monson was Gonzaga before it was Mark Few. And Don Monson got fired last Monday. Got fired. The coach at Long Beach State, who U of A is opening with, got fired last Monday. And then his team won the NCAA tournament through the Big West, I should say. They won the Big West tournament. So they make the postseason. U of A, because it's March, I know and you know your heart's likely going to get broken. It's just how it is. You can say this is the year. We'll see. So I'm going to talk to John about that. Grand Canyon University meets St. Mary's. This matchup is really interesting to me because Randy Bennett, the coach at St. Mary's, his dad, Tom, here a legend in the Valley. GCU will deny it publicly. It's fine. They're supposed to. They tried very, 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 very hard to hire Randy to be the next head coach. In fact, had him on campus before it ended up being Bryce Drew. I think it worked out well for everybody. And the fact that GCU is playing St. Mary's as the final game of the opening round at 7:05 Pacific, 10:05 Eastern, that's a lot of respect for GCU. GCU may be spending a lot of money nationally on ad dollars to get that time slot. That's huge for them to be focused as the final game of the opening on a Friday night, 10 o'clock East. A lot of people are going to be watching that game and have never seen GCU before. I've said it all along, said it all the way back to San Diego State game. They've got four guards. They're going to be a problem. I would be shocked. I would be shocked if they end up getting eliminated by St. Mary's. It's one of those you just look at and say, they're going to win. So there's that side of it. The tournament overall, I found myself looking and seeing that the women's side, because I'm all caught up in what Caitlin Clark is doing. Big ABC, okay? Big ABC is showing the Connecticut women's game Saturday morning, followed by the Iowa game Saturday afternoon. Big ABC. So if you're one of those that still is in Neanderthal caveman space of women's sports don't mean anything, you are dead flat wrong. And ESPN assigned Shelley Smith, Holly Rowe, assigned Holly Rowe to be the reporter to follow around Caitlin Clark. Holly Rowe is on nothing but Caitlin Clark watch. Now, on the surface, that sounds really interesting. It sounds like some executives saying, okay, we see all the social media impressions and all the nonsense, and we should just follow this person around. Me, it's, okay, what kind of access are you really, really, really going to get? We'll give you 20 minutes where Caitlin will have her dog sitting with her in a hotel room or hotel suite. So it looks really nice. It's shot really well. It's lit really well. We're going to have her dress a certain way. We're going to do the whole PR-ization. Or is it going to be, no, this is who I am. I'm on the bus. This is what I'm listening to on the bus. I'm going to hang out on the bus. I'm going to be with my friends. It's not going to be, hey, I'm mic'd up, so let's say some cool things. That's how I look at it. You know, we find all these that sound great on the surface, but really all they are PR things. Give me some depth. That's all I'm asking for. Give me some depth. I love that we're in a tournament where the Grand Canyon St. Mary's matchup has storylines. I love the fact that Tommy Lloyd's going to be coaching against a guy that, whether he was interested in recruiting Tommy or not, he had history at Gonzaga. Love that stuff. Whole idea of what the betting line is, which is what 90% of March Madness has turned into. It's fine. I'll probably put some bets down on my gaming app. That's how it works. But I'm not sitting there just addicted. I have to find the storylines. And that's what makes March so great. It's going to change, and we'll talk to John Wilner about that. Okay, I've sat here for the entire Sun season with the usual stance of I don't care. I don't care what October, November, December, January, February looks like. I don't. I'm not going to make a big deal out of certain games. But man, I don't even want to hear the, well, it was a 10 a.m. body clock game on the end of a four-game road trip. It's so exhausting. I don't want to hear that. They played Charlotte on Friday night. Flight from Charlotte to Milwaukee is not that hard. Giannis didn't play yesterday. Giannis didn't play, and the Suns gave up 140. It's like, oh my gosh. Well, you know, when we get everybody back, everything's going to be great. You know, Frank Vogel's been brought here to bring defense. You gave up 140 without their best player even on the floor. You know, Lillard had 31 and 16 assists, but man, you're a sieve. 140. 35 a quarter. That's a problem. That's a problem. That's a bad loss, actually. You know, during the season, there's going to be nights where you crap the bed. There's going to be nights where it just doesn't go right. But when you give up 140 without their best player, that's something. So, but hey, they signed Isaiah Thomas, so everything's going to work out. They finally have a point guard. Go team, rah, rah, rah. Fandom's great. Just like, we have no problems. Everything's great. We sign a guy. Everything's awesome. John Wilner is next. We will talk a bunch about the tournament, college sports, as we do every Monday with the nationally great John Wilner. That is on the other side. John Wilner is with us for a couple of minutes. We'll get to the tournament shortly. You can follow John at Wilner Hotline and, of course, on sports360az.com, all the social channels. John knows it from far and away what's going on across the fruited plain. Let's start before we get into the tournament. This last week, the CFP, you had news out of the SEC and the Big Ten that was not very promising if you're in the Big 12 or the ACC. Sounded like Greg Sankey. And this isn't even just about football, John. This sounded like basketball, too. They're like, you were pretty much better than all of you. So they have this new CFP deal. Let's start there. And what does that mean for the fan?
Well, what's been quiet and assumed is now out in the open and has, you know, material evidence for us to point to, right? I mean, the Big Ten and the SEC, since all the realignment happened the past few summers, right? Everybody's known, all right, the Big Ten and the SEC have the biggest football brands. They're worth the most money. They're kind of running the show. But now we have material examples. And if for the first time that I know of in the history of college athletics, right, two conferences are being treated differently than the others in policy and practice and cash, right? They are starting a new playoff cycle with the 20. Now, we got to remind folks, the 2024 and 2025 playoff seasons, the playoffs will be 12 teams under rules that have been already decided. What happened last week is for the season that starts in 2026. And at that point, the SEC and the Big Ten will get more money, and it's written into the contract that they will get a lot more money than everybody else. Mm-hmm. And this is the first time there has been an unequal distribution of money in a predetermined fashion. And it is sheds a spotlight on the differences in the two conferences and everybody else and what's going to happen going forward. You know, they're going to push for more NCAA tournament spots because they have 18 teams in the Big Ten and 16 in the SEC, and they want more. And really, there's nothing anybody can do about it because there's always the threat that they're going to break away. And so they are just, you know, bullying themselves. You know, you could argue they got the biggest brands. They should be in charge.
Sure.
But, I mean, there is no doubt about what's going on.
But you could also make the argument, couldn't you, that they have Indiana and Vanderbilt and Minnesota and, you know, brands that are not as big. And yet we're sitting out here looking at the new Big 12. There's some pretty big brands that are out there, especially in basketball. I guess you could make that argument the other side. Is it going to take presidents? I'll just use the one here who always seems to be dug in, and that's Dr. Crow. Is it going to take people like him saying, we're not going to be a part of this. We're going to go do our own thing. Could you see that happening? And is this the step that we've been talking, you and I have been talking about? Eventually, this is the front end of the 40 teams or thereabouts are just going to go form their own conference. And the rest of you, figure it out. You're Purdue, knock yourself out in football. You're never going to win. You're not going to be in the same boat with Alabama.
Well, it's risky for Michael Crow or Bobby Robbins at Arizona, right? Because if you go a separate path, the money is going to stay with the SEC and the Big Ten. That's the issue. So, yes, they do have a lot of second-tier programs in those conferences. But Fox and ESPN and CBS, the money is with the big brands. The money is with the schools that will generate audiences of 6, 8, 10 million for football games, right? And that's Ohio State, Michigan, Penn State, USC, Oregon, Washington, and it's Alabama, Georgia, Texas, Oklahoma, LSU, right? That's where the big brands are. That's where the money is. That's where the control is, right? Because everybody is chasing the last dollar. So the networks aren't paying for Purdue and South Carolina.
Right.
They're paying for the big brands, right?
Correct.
And it's basketball isn't worth as much, right? It's basically 20 cents on the dollar in a media rights deal. Football is 80 cents, right? So the fact is that if you're going to break down where the basketball blue bloods are, most of them are in the ACC and Big 12, right? But the Big Ten, you know, UCLA is the biggest blue blood in the Big Ten, and the SEC, it's just Kentucky. But basketball doesn't matter as much. That's why the ACC and Big 12 are cast in this secondary position, because they don't have, other than Florida State and Clemson, they don't have any football big brands.
Okay, so that's the football side of it. Notre Dame, how did they play into, and how did they feel about all this?
Well, Notre Dame is going to have, of course, its own rules. So we don't know the details. We don't even know if starting in 2026, it's going to be a 12-team playoff or a 14-team playoff or a 16-team playoff. Mm. But there are a few rules that have already been written into this memorandum of understanding. And one of them is that there will be 5 automatic bids. Those automatic bids will go to the winners of the ACC, Big 12, Big 10, and SEC, plus the highest ranked team from the other conferences, the group of 5. Notre Dame is going to have to get in through the at-large path, right? Because Notre Dame is not in a conference. They are in the ACC in basketball. They are independent in football. But they're going to have their own rules. So it's going to basically say something like, if Notre Dame is ranked in the top 14, they are an at-large team, right? They're guaranteed an at-large bid.
If they're
Notre
mediocre,
Dame is in the top 16.
If they're mediocre, they get in. If they're, you
mediocre,
know, if they're top
right.
15, they're in, right? Okay,
yeah,
so
pretty
15
much.
Could be but 3 or 4 losses.
That's how this crazy sport works, yeah. Right? I mean, think about the governance structure of the CFP, right? You got 10 conference, now it's 9, because the Pac-12's gone away. 9 conference commissioners and Notre Dame's president, right? One school has the same amount of votes as the commissioner of the SEC and the commissioner of the Big 12. And that's crazy, but that's the way college football is. And again, it shows you the money, because Notre Dame is worth a lot of money in TV and in a college football playoff. I mean, ESPN would love to have Notre Dame in the college football playoff, right? And so Notre Dame gets that same treatment as the entire conference.
Okay, so then let's move over to March Madness. Because Greg Sankey made some comments over the weekend that were not very comforting to me about the size of the field, perhaps expansion. We need to, these are nice little stories that we don't want to lose. Well, what are you talking about, nice little stories? That's what this is. So are you seeing some storm clouds on the way that we know March Madness and its structure, John?
Absolutely. I mean, what is happening in football is going to happen in basketball, which is the Big Ten and the SEC are going to take over. There's going to be, expansion of the postseason. Now, to be fair, since the college football playoff began looking into expansion like 4 years ago, the NBA has added the play-in tournament. The NFL has added playoff teams, right? Everybody's postseason expands. March Madness is going to grow past 68. The question is how big, right? And I think the SEC and the Big Ten are just dead set on adding anywhere from 8 to 12 bids. To me, they can't. There's two things that really need to happen. One is they cannot change the automatic qualifier situation. You have to have St. Peter's. You have to have Florida Atlantic. You got to have George Mason, right? Or Princeton. If you take away that piece, the Cinderella piece, mm-hmm. the access for the small conferences, then you are risking, I think you're risking a material backlash from the public. Because I think a lot of people don't pay attention to college basketball, but they tune in for March Madness because of the Cinderellas. You eliminate that, you're playing with fire. The other thing is they have to keep it to one page. You have to be able to hold up a one-page office pool or look on your computer screen and see one page of a bracket. Mm. If it grows to the point where it's two pages, I think you actually will risk a loss of interest.
Yeah, but you and I both know, and I agree with you, you and I both know, this is all about gambling. Like March Madness, John, I'm becoming pretty cynical about the idea of fandom. The idea of fandom, I'm with you. You and I are north of 30 by a long ways, at least in my case. I'm not going to date you. But the idea of a fan following their team versus am I going to hit the over-under, it's just overtaking our country now when it comes to betting. And so with this expansion, why not? Betting companies are going to love it. TV programming is going to love it. We're already seeing where sports is dominating TV live viewing habits. The idea is of let's create new sitcoms, all that, rather than put a game up and go put it over on True TV, which nobody watches except for 2 weeks out of the year. I understand that. I just wonder if really it's about the Cinderellas. You and I are like-minded, but you and I are not the mass audience anymore.
No, we're not. But I think that there's still a considerable mass audience that cares about the Cinderellas. I agree with you that betting is a huge thing, right? We see it. I mean, the NFL, that's a big reason for the NFL's popularity. College football, right. College basketball too, March Madness. But I think that, you know, you're going to lose. It's such a part of the fabric of our culture for 3 weeks in March. People who don't really pay attention to sports do pay attention to March Madness because they talk about it in their office. Yep. They watch it in their office. They, you know, and there's, it's not like those other events in that regard that it attracts this entirely different audience from what normally watches the sport. So I think that as important as gambling is, that they cannot ignore the little guy factor in this whole thing.
Well, and on the women's side, I saw where ABC is going to have a doubleheader. ABC, not ESPN, big ABC. Of course, they're going to show Connecticut and Iowa, but hey, you know, I understand it that's the way it's going to go. John Wilner with us for a few minutes to the end of the tournament. Tommy Lloyd, if Tommy Lloyd has another step on the landmine, it doesn't mean he's going to be fired, but really, this is for U of A fans. Your regular season doesn't matter. Pac-12 tournament, oh, we lost. Everybody else lost. It's no big deal. We had a wake-up call. That's nonsense, in my opinion. So U of A, John, they're walking into the tournament. Are you expecting them to be in Glendale at the Final Four?
Boy, I have gone back and forth on this. I think it is going to be Grand Slam or a strikeout, right? I could see them losing to Long Beach, right? Long Beach is an interesting first-round opponent because not only are they hot, but they're like on this mission because their coach got fired last week and they're playing for him. So, and if Arizona can get through that first game, I think they have got a great draw to get to the Final Four. I really do. Carolina will be tough in the Elite Eight, but they could have had a much more difficult bracket in terms of like the 6 seed, the 3 seed, the teams that they're going to get matched up against. To me, you could really make the case that like the first 5 to 8 minutes of the second half of the Long Beach State game are going to mean everything to Arizona. Because if they get to that 10-minute mark of the game and it's close, Arizona's sphincters are going to get tight, really tight, right? I'm dating myself, but I was there when they lost to East Tennessee. I was there when they lost to Santa Clara. And I can tell you that if it is close, the demons are going to be howling. The sphincters are going to be tight. And who's going to make those big couple shots, right? eight seconds left on the shot clock. The offense is a mess, and it's a close game. Who's going to hit that three-pointer? Who's going to, you know, get to the line? Is Caleb Love going to be that playmaker? Is it going to be Boswell? Is there somebody else? But, boy, Arizona fans, to me, it's going to all come down to those that first part of the second half, because if it's close with 10 minutes left, oh, boy, they are in trouble. And if they lose, you're right. I mean, they are not – it is going to just completely consume the program if they lose that first round again.
Their fan base is as fragile as Dallas Cowboy fans, in my opinion. Yeah. Like, we can do no wrong. We are U of A. You've done nothing. Princeton beat you last year. What are you talking about? You haven't done jack in 24 years. Well, it's all, we're better than ASU. Sure, everybody is right now. Like, come on. Your program has more pressure on you than any other program in this tournament, outside of maybe Purdue, because everybody's expecting it to be Purdue. That's how they are in March, right?
Yeah, it is. And it's interesting, too. I think that Arizona was very smart, and I don't know if this was part of their calculation, but giving Lloyd that extension, I think in some ways that is a counterpoint to the whole narrative of winning, because if he didn't have that extension, there'd be a lot of talk. Well, if they lose, is Lloyd going to get fired, right? Not that he would have gotten fired, but now they're kind of snuffing out the talk because they've just handed him this two-year extension, right? So there's no chance that whatever happens, he's getting fired. But yeah, I mean, it has been almost as long, right? I don't remember the last Cowboys Super Bowl was, what, 94, 95? And the last Arizona championship, the only one, was 97. So it is, in some ways, very similar. Arizona has at least been closer a few times than Dallas. But yeah, I can see what you're saying, absolutely. And Arizona, you know, the program has a lot to prove to a lot of people nationally.
I understand if people went there and all that stuff, but the idea that you're one of the elite programs is a joke. You're not right now. You haven't been the last couple of years. So put up or shut up.
It's all about March.
It really is. And nothing matters. Like, what happened in the regular season, what happened up in the idea of, oh, it's a wake-up call for our team. Oh, look at all the other top seeds they lost. Then you're comparing yourself to others. Just be better.
True. And here's the piece. Yeah, those top seeds lost. Houston lost to Iowa State, which is a number two seed, right? I mean, that's an important piece. The Pac-12 is not very good. Arizona's losses, look at the other seeds. That's the best way to tell how good a conference is what are the seeds? You know, the number two team in the Pac-12 is a seven seed, Washington State. The other two are 10 and 11 seeds, Colorado and Oregon, right? So it's not like Arizona is losing to teams that are seeded 2, 3, 4, 5, like some of their peers. Mm-hmm. They're losing to teams that are at the bottom half of the seed lines. And so to me, that is a little bit concerning. Like, if you're trying to, how good a shape is Arizona in right now? You know what? They just got beat by double digits, USC, a team that didn't make the tournament. They, you know, they lost to Oregon. They're an 11 seed. They got swept by a 7 seed, Washington State. That's a little concerning.
Yeah. I appreciate the U of A fans in my circles that I come across when I'm out speaking that get it, that aren't all wound up and just blind. Blind loyalty is the worst. Oh, we got off. No, you don't. You don't. So let me move over to your neck of the woods. And you may be able to help on this one or you may not. I don't know how much you saw St. Mary's. Okay. I know this, that GCU has a player that is the best in the WAC that was at Kansas, Grant Foster. He is terrific. They've got four guards who are really good. They get to the free throw line a ton. Randy Bennett was approached by Grand Canyon University to coach here to replace Dan Marley when he was fired. Very familiar. His dad, of course, has been a legendary coach here in the Valley. St. Mary's, GCU. John, I'm calling GCU to win this. What's your view of St. Mary's?
Yeah, it's a great matchup. Absolutely fascinating, because St. Mary's also has great guards, right? They got a big guy who is a good rim protector, but they're mostly about their guards and about defense, right? Aiden Mahaney is a terrific guy. That guy should be playing in the Pac-12. He's from the Bay Area. Nobody recruited him. He's at St. Mary's. They had Sharunas Marcellonas. Some of your viewers may remember, a NBA great international basketball star. His kid plays for St. Mary's and was the WCC Player of the Year. They have very good guards as well. They play very good defense. They are fantastic. Bennett's a fantastic coach. It's going to be a great matchup. I could see that being one of the best games of the first round. Mm-hmm. Certainly Grand Canyon has got a great chance to win that game. And I would be shocked if that thing is not in doubt with 2 minutes left. I would make that a must-watch first-round game.
Well, the fact that it's the final game of the opening week, opening round of games, it's the
The
last game on Friday night for the nation to see whether GCU is buying ad time or not, because they spent a lot. I don't know.
It should be a great game.
When I saw that, it was wow.
Yeah.
One last thing, I'll get you out of here. The portal opens today in basketball. John, I read somewhere where over 50% of the players in football that put their name in the portal still do not have a home. What are we going to see here in basketball? It's going to be turnstile opening today because everybody was disrespected. My coach didn't understand me. You know, I'm being slept on. All the nonsense that we hear. But people think, oh, I have freedom to go. Maybe you're not as good as you think. What are you expecting today in the portal?
Well, I think it'll be a very busy, although it will probably take a little while to play out, right? You got 68 teams that still have games to play. And so you would think that most guys who are thinking on those teams that are thinking about transferring are going to at least wait for their seasons to end. So today will be busy with players from teams who aren't in the NCAAs. But a lot of the big name guys that are going to be playing this week, they could enter the portal, you know, later in the month. The other thing about football is there's a lot of guys still in there. The portal opens the second for football. It reopens in the second half of April. I would expect a lot of guys to find homes, especially, I mean, Alabama, Washington, Arizona, schools that lost their head coaches late in the hiring cycle because of the ripple effect from Nick Saban. Those guys, there'll be a lot of guys going to those schools. But yeah, basketball will be crazy, and it will be hard. You know, we're not going to be able to get a handle on how teams look, especially like ASU, Arizona, Pac-12 teams that are moving on. We aren't going to really know how they're going to look in their new conferences for a few months, when it'll take a while for the rosters to kind of take shape. And then we can evaluate how things stand for the departing Pac-12 schools.
Okay. If I'm making you commissioner for a day, would you change the calendar so that we're not talking about portal on the same day as brackets, on the same day as the women's brackets? I mean, how about somebody somewhere have a leadership that says, you know what, on April 11th, the day after the Final Four, the portal will open. Instead, you've got coaches, you have coaches that are coaching, you have kids that are saying, you know what, I'm going to opt out, I'm not going to go even play in the NIT. We're already seeing that with coaches, and that's a whole nother topic. But from a calendar standpoint, if you're commissioner, John, isn't there a better way to go about this?
Oh, of course. I mean, there's a better way to go about everything in college sports, right? And the football portal too, right? They are moving the football portal up. It's going to and the recruiting window, they're moving all that stuff. And I think they need to do the same in basketball. But the NIT thing is interesting. There have been a bunch of teams that have said, no, we're not going to the NIT,
right?
Because we need to recruit the portal. That could impact the NIT, which is run by the NCAA. And you never know. The NCAA may end up, you know, because the NCAA has a lot more influence in basketball. It runs the basketball tournament than it does in football. If there's a material impact on the NIT, you know, the NCAA may push the conferences to change the portal. But the whole thing is crazy. The whole thing is a mess, especially now that you can transfer a second time without having to sit out because of that the federal judge's ruling in December. Something's got to change. I think that by I don't know if it's going to be a year, but by March of 2026, college sports is going to look completely different than it does now. The next 2 years are going to play out. It's going to be an incredible evolution, football and basketball. Who's in the NCAA? Who's in major conference football? It's going to change incredibly. And athletes, you can make the case this is the last time there's going to be an NCAA tournament where athletes are amateurs. By this time next year, by this today of next year, Monday of the first round, athletes could be employees. Think about that. That will change NIL. It'll change the portal. It'll change. That'll change everything. But there's so many pieces of legislation facing the NCAA right now that have to do with employment status. I just don't see how a year from now they're not going to be employees. And so the last vestiges of the greatest amateur event in creation is going to be professionalized next March. We're going to talk about pro players, professional players in the NCAA tournament. They're all going to be pros.
That's a prediction. That is a prediction.
That's a hard prediction. Yes. A year from now, you can re-roll the tape a year from now. And absolutely, I'm pretty sure with this time.
Pretty sure. You got to put your house on it, Sean.
Not my house, but I would probably put my garage.
Put your garage on it. That is great. Just so we're really clear, what John and I have done over the last 25 minutes in chopping it up, it's all the History Channel now. It's all going to change by next week.
That's right.
I'll see you next week. Thanks.
Thanks very much.
There's John Wilner, and we're back with more after this timeout.